to you sooner than later, right here at...
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A divided U.S. appeals court has blocked the Biden administration from destroying razor wire fencing that Texas placed along its border with Mexico to deter illegal migration. That while the state pursues a lawsuit accusing federal authorities of trespassing. In New York, a judge has denied Sean Diddy Combs' bid for bail. He's been ordered to remain in jail ahead of his sex trafficking trial. Linda Kenyon reports on threats being made against Donald Trump's nominees.
The targets of the threat last night and this morning include former representative and former Trump pick for Attorney General Matt Gaetz.
Some were bomb threats, others swatting attacks. It's stressful being behind the wheel during holiday travel, but also in the child seat.
A lot of trailers and way too many trucks on the road.
Solar storms may allow many Americans to see northern lights this Thanksgiving, from Montana to upper New York. On Wall Street, the Dow was off 138. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A vehicle speeding through the town of Saratoga results in charges against two people for intent to deliver THC and meth. Wood County Sheriff's deputies stopped the vehicle for speeding earlier this week. During the following investigation, they seized over 230 grams of marijuana and more than 11 grams of methamphetamine and arrested the two occupants of the vehicle. They're expected to face charges of possession with intent to deliver. Whooping cough continues to spread here in Wisconsin. We're seeing a spike here this year, and state health officials want people to be safe this Thanksgiving. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
Almost 1,900 people have tested positive for pertussis or whooping cough here in Wisconsin this year. It starts out feeling like the average cold that can make it tough to know when you have it. Anybody can catch it at any age, but it can be particularly dangerous for babies and people with compromised immune systems. 76 Wisconsin babies have been hospitalized so far this year. Right now, lots of young people are getting it. Half of all the cases here in the Badger State have been in kids ages 11 to 18. It's called whooping cough because of the sound people often make when they have it. But health officials say teens and adults typically don't present with that telltale cough, and some young kids may not do it either. Of course, nobody wants to be left out of holiday festivities, but staff from the Department of Health Services say stay home if you're sick.
Sections of Grand Avenue and 2nd Street South will be closed this evening for the Rekindle the Spirit Parade in Wisconsin Rapids. Grand Avenue will close between West Jackson Street and Lincoln Street starting at 4 p.m. 2nd Street South will be closed between Oak Street and East Grand Avenue. Traffic will be detoured on Jackson Street. All streets are expected to reopen at 8 p.m. The bridge lighting ceremony is at 5:25 and the parade starts at 5:40.
The Bucks are back to 500. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks with a 106-103 win over the Heat in Miami. Milwaukee's win-loss record now even at 9-9. Just before the tip-off, Giannis Antetokounmpo had his left knee flare up with swelling and was unable to play. How did that change the game plan? Head coach Doc Rivers.
When Giannis went out, it was such a late scratch. You know, kind of had a scrambling. We usually go with bigs, and we decided to play small ball the entire game because I really felt like with so much scoring, the only way we're going to win the game is we had to win a three-point game.
NFL, the Packers getting ready for their Thursday night game on NBC for Thanksgiving. I asked Jordan Love how he feels about playing in prime time on the holiday.
Yeah, it's awesome. You know, anytime you're prime time, especially playing on a day like Thanksgiving where, you know, I grew up eating Thanksgiving food and watching football. So, you know, a lot of people, that's kind of the tradition. So it's definitely special. You know, we love these prime time games for sure.
That's quarterback Jordan Love. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky tonight, couple of flurries and a low near 20. And more clouds around for tomorrow, scattered flurries and a high in the mid-20s. Colder with sunshine Friday, high only near 20. Staying cold for the weekend, even with sunshine, highs only in the low 20s. It's 24 right now.
Bringing a house of pain.
Backside pressure, down he goes. Inside the 30-yard line.
To a game day near you.
Picked off. by Wisconsin, and the Badgers win it.
That's how you create a program. That's how you create a team.
Join us Friday. The Badgers battle the Gophers for Paul Bunyan's axe. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m. on your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday morning, we'll replay our visit with dairy farmer Hans Breitenmoser about how Trump's mass deportations would hammer the U.S. food supply.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right. And now, a guy who loves the sin but hates the sinner, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, welcome to this November 27th edition of Nightlight, which is unlike any other edition of Nightlight that you've heard all month, because this is the 27th. It's the night before Thanksgiving, one of the happiest nights of the year. Am I right or am I wrong, Conrad?
Definitely right.
Yeah. I thought you'd agree. I know you're a big Thanksgiving guy.
Definitely.
Yeah. It's fun. It's like Christmas Eve is great, but I think the night before Thanksgiving is almost better, because once Christmas Eve is over, you kind of have the blues. It's like, oh, we got New Year's, but then it's back to school. Like, Thanksgiving, the night before Thanksgiving, you got a whole other set of holidays ahead of you after Thanksgiving. So to me, it's a more fun eve, if you will. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong. You know, I always look forward to Thanksgiving just because I think the food's better there than Christmas, you know. But also, it's just getting to see your family, because it's been a while, probably,
right,
for some. So Thanksgiving is the first holiday you get to see him again and enjoy some football, for sure.
Hopefully. Well, now you do food, because the Lions are good.
Well,
but
yeah,
man, they were on for decades. Yeah. And it was just a joke. That was like the game you skipped. You went out and had your own turkey bowl, and the talent level was probably better than what you would have seen on TV during a Lions game. So, well, but now they're good, so it's fun.
Well, you get the good Lions, but you also get a really fun game. It's the Giants and Cowboys. And if many don't know, they just benched Daniel Jones. That was last week. And he's QB4 now.
And making, what, $200 million?
Well, they're doing that because he has an injury clause on his contract.
Wow.
And actually, last week, I believe, yeah, last week, Thursday, he was spotted playing safety on the practice squad.
What?
Yeah.
Were they trying to get out of paying him or something?
Yeah, he's not going to be a quarterback on the Giants much longer. And I heard maybe Pittsburgh's a team.
Well,
I don't know.
Who gets that contract? Whoever picks him up?
You know, I really don't know. Like, it's a crazy contract he has, because he got one of the highest paying during that time.
Yeah, that's terrible.
So, yes, it is Tommy DeVito who's backing him up versus Cooper Rush on that day.
Oh, God, that's brutal. Tommy DeVito, I always think of Jersey Boys when I hear Tommy DeVito. I'm like, that guy plays quarterback? I don't know what it is either about the NFC East. I never got excited when they were on.
Yeah.
I never get excited when they're on. They're like this division rivals that I just don't follow. I guess the Eagles are kind of fun to watch now.
Yeah.
But that never excited me. I'd almost rather watch the Lions. And I loved when they added that third night game, because that was like a variable.
Yes.
It was like a really good AFC team, like Baltimore or the Chargers or Steelers or whatever. So anyway, yeah, you got football, you got family. This is a great night. And it's fun just to wake up. Ideally, you get ideally you help out whoever's cooking. If you're not the one doing the cooking, you help out. then you just get to lounge around a little bit. Do you do a turkey bowl?
No, I don't think I've ever. I mean, when I was younger, I'd play catch with someone maybe outside, but
yeah,
we've never actually. My whole family's not a huge like football per se family.
Players of the game.
They watch it, but yeah, exactly.
It's safer to just watch it. We've had two instances where there were emergency room trips on Thanksgiving Day because of a touch football injury. Like, you know, that guy goes down wrong. I mean, my brother-in-law one year, it was just brutal. So we stopped. It's just sort of not worth it. But
touch always turns into something more sometimes.
Listen, when you're over 30, touch is almost as dangerous as tackle because you're just going to pull something or you're going to fall funny or think you're better than you are and try to be a hero. It's terrible. But we've got we got a good show. I mean, we put together kind of a best of show for the rest of the night. And we have actor John Grise will be here. He is, we have kind of an all-star lineup, if you will. We've got John Grise, who is Uncle Rico in Napoleon Dynamite, who had a chat with me on the radio recently. And then we have an all-star lineup of Adam Brody, Jenny Slate, and John Legend that Conrad sort of mashed together for sort of we took little fun tidbits out of those talks. And then we've got music in the second hour. Ask Your Mother will be here in studio, pre-recorded. And Eric Jelen will be here also from a pre-record. But two really fun guys to talk to. And Adam Krause will be here with part of it as part of that pre-record that we did for Ask Your Mother. So it'll be Eric and Adam, and then Eric from Mascot Theory. So really fun show. That's a good, if you're into the radio, and we're not with you live the entire night, we're still with you in spirit, and we put together a show just for you guys. So I hope you enjoy it. And so what are you going to do? What is your favorite part of the meal, Conrad? Let me ask you.
Oh, you know, I go to a lot of, you know, different sides of Thanksgiving. I say one of my favorite things is my aunt's biscuits.
Oh.
They're buttery, they're flaky, they just melt.
Right.
Those are so good. But I'm also, I love ham. I think ham's better than turkey, in my opinion.
Really?
Yes.
That's interesting.
I love a good ham with some great glaze, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm looking forward to ham mostly. I never have ham.
Sounds like you're a fan of ham.
I never have it besides like Thanksgiving or,
you know,
Christmas.
They sell it in delis. You can go get a ham sandwich any day of the week.
It's not the same though, because, you know, it's cooked in the oven and you have thicker slices than just like the basic deli slices.
Here's where I'm at with that.
Okay.
Since you brought it up. Yep. I think turkey is the dullest part of the meal. I'm not a gravy guy, so turkey is just, I eat it purely for texture. I go mashed potatoes, I go stuffing, I go a little bit of cranberry, and I like the canned cranberry better than the real cranberry. I don't need seeds and stems in my cranberries. So I go the can way, and then my mom's pumpkin bread. Mm. The turkey, honestly, is like, my wife makes it good. She puts like this salted brine on it. It's very good. But most turkey is pretty bland. So I understand where you're coming from with ham. Just never been a huge ham fan. It doesn't mean I can't muscle down a sandwich, but I get where you're coming from. What about your favorite side?
So this is do you like potatoes with lumps in it?
Yeah, I could go either way. I used to hate that. Yeah. Now I love it because I realize they're potatoes, not mystery lumps.
I could go either way as well. But I would say I love corn with potatoes.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah. Corn, potatoes.
Interesting.
Have a nice slab of ham on there.
All right. Let me ask you this. This is controversial. Green beans with that mushroom soup on top and the crispy fried onions.
Isn't that Green Bay casserole? Or?
Some could call it that. Yeah, I think you're probably right. Yeah, hot dish. That's so funny. The hot dish is such a Wisconsin term, because I remember when I moved here as a kid, we had a babysitter. It was this old woman. I said, "What's for dinner?" And she goes, "Hot dish." I go, "What the hell is that?" It sounds like you're serving plates for dinner. I didn't even know what that was. But then I realized, oh, it's a casserole. But it's kind of a vague term. Like anything can be in there, right?
Yeah.
And it's a hot dish. But I think you're right. I think a lot of people do call it green bean casserole. But it's the mushroom soup that throws me.
I just don't like it altogether. I don't like green beans.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I don't like green bean casserole.
What about crispy onions?
I mean, those are good.
Yeah.
I'll have them by themself.
You get those at Quick Trip next to a cheeseburger.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what, yeah, all right. I like the classics, though. I like the potatoes, a little pumpkin bread, some stuffing, cranberries. I don't go too crazy. But you said it's better on Thanksgiving, the food. You can make whatever food you want, right? Like, we do the same dinner.
Yeah.
Basically at Christmas that we do Thanksgiving.
See, I'd say it's more, I don't know, like generic for Christmas, because I have a side that we do random things. Like one year we did like a taco bowl kind of thing.
Okay.
Or we do pizza.
Oh,
or
that's awesome.
Just random things that you're like, not usually Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
But it just feels like it, because you got family there, good food. So that's why I like it better.
Mix it up a little. Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Here's the best part of the weekend for me is when the big meal is over and you're either hanging out and playing board games.
Yeah.
Or you wake up, you watch college football the next day, you take a walk, and hopefully the sun is shining on Thanksgiving weekend. You go to the movies. It's a big weekend for movies. That's usually what I do. So to me, it's kind of almost the days that follow Thanksgiving that I'm as excited about as the actual holiday itself.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, a big after dinner, you know, sometimes we play cribbage.
Okay.
But I started hanging out with my sister-in-law's family, and we like to play a lot of different games.
What's your fave?
Ooh, I mean, I like it's Pictionary.
Okay.
But it's love those little pads, you know?
Okay.
And you pass it around. I forget what it's called. Like, it's kind of like Pictionary, but it's fun. Mm-hmm. And it's more after dark.
Meaning what, dirty?
So
you just draw a bunch of body parts.
So you get a card, and then there's like words on it, and you have to, if you're starting, you draw. Or no, you draw first, and then you pass it to the person to the left, and they guess what it is, and then the next person draws it, and just goes around.
You have to draw the same thing.
You draw, guess, draw, guess, and then it eventually gets back to the original person, and then you go through it. And then you get points for the best picture and the best guess.
Okay. I have not played that.
It's really fun.
Do you do catchphrase?
We have done catchphrase,
that's an easy one, because you just need the thing, the clicker or whatever. And that's one of my favorites. And then Balderdash, I love. That one gets tough because you can't have too many players. But that's a great Thanksgiving game. If you just have like four people, that's a good one too. So I don't know cribbage. I've never learned how to play Sheephead, cribbage. I don't know the Wisconsin card games. I my parents kind of failed me there.
I'm okay at cribbage.
So you that's like a skill?
Well, you have to learn it, and I think it takes a couple, you know, it takes a while to actually really get to understand it.
Okay. That's fair. One of these days, I will learn how to play cribbage, and I will challenge you to a match or a round or a game or whatever you call it. John Grise is here tonight, folks. We have a little best of Nightlight coming up, hoping to keep you company here tonight. The night before Thanksgiving, one of the happiest days of the year. Conrad is headed for Florida very shortly after this.
Yes.
You got a cab waiting for you outside. And I will be making the trek back up to Marinette. But John Grise is here. We have part of a John Grise interview that we did recently, and then an all-star lineup. John Legend, Adam Brody, Jenny Slate. The guys from Ask Your Mother will be here, Eric and Adam. And Eric Jellin from Mascot Theory, some best of, kind of an all-star show, hoping to kick your Thanksgiving weekend off just right, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you stay safe this weekend, folks. Give a listen. Have a nice, relaxing evening before the chaos sets in tomorrow. Happy Thanksgiving.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Tome for the Todd Allball Show.
The timing is historic. The launch of WFHR radio happened at the same time residents cast their votes in a pivotal presidential election. It was November 1940. Wisconsin Rapids Daily Tribune newspaper publisher William F. Huffman believed radio could provide live entertainment and information to the community. The station officially on air November 5th, and just in time for election results, Democratic incumbent President Franklin D. Roosevelt announced to serve an unprecedented third term. A dedication 5 days later included a celebration, and the public joined in on the event. 84 years later, WFHR continues to be a treasured voice in the community and again celebrates on-air success at the same time as another important presidential election, this time in 2024. Join me in congratulating WFHR for 8 decades of broadcast excellence. I'm Terry Barr.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey Kay, a professor emeritus of democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, I know you're the big FDR expert.
1934, he decided that the inequality and the wealth accumulated at the top was a threat not only to the American economy, but also to the American democratic spirit, American democratic life.
Sounds like history's repeating itself.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Locally grown radio, WFHR. Don't be a baby, remember what you told me.
Shut up and put your money where your mouth is. That's what you get. It is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight for the first time ever, composer, producer, writer, musician, John Legend, ladies and gentlemen. John, so great to have you. Welcome to Nightlight, my friend.
My pleasure. Great to be here.
You and I have something in common because your last name is Legend and you're an actual legend, and my last name is Schwabba and I'm an actual Schwabba. So there you go.
No, what is a Schwabba? You have to explain.
I'm a work in progress, but as soon as I figure it out, I'll let you know.
A Schwabba is like the upside down E, you know.
Oh, yes. That's my fate. That's right. Anything you got coming out that we can look forward to?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to be touring for Christmas, so I don't know where the closest show to Wisconsin is, but if you all go to my website, johnlegend.com, and check out my Christmas tour dates, I just released a children's and family album called My Favorite Dream, so especially new parents. New parents who would get a child tax credit if they voted for Kamala Harris. check that out because my kids love it, and I'm finding that so many kids and parents love the new children and family album. It's called My Favorite Dream. And, just stay tuned. Follow me on socials, and I'll always have some new stuff happening.
You got it. Thanks so much, John. Keep up the great work, and we'll look forward to that. Anything new you put out. Thanks so much.
Okay,
buddy. So it is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight for the first time actress Jenny Slate. Jenny, welcome to Nightlight, and welcome to Wisconsin.
Hi, Pete. Thank you. It's good to be back in Wisconsin.
Tell us a little bit about your visit and how it's going.
Well, I'm here because I have a new book out called Life Form, and I'm touring around the country, and I'm doing a show here tonight at the Orpheum. And
you have done so many great things in the comedy genre. I assume that's your genre of choice. And you've done live action, you've done voiceover. What do you prefer? Do you like just doing voices, or do you prefer live action and playing off of someone?
I actually prefer live action, and it is because I am like hyper gregarious and I just like being around other people.
And I
also have like learned in my own career that coming from a place of like combo joy, tenderness, and like true comedy is the way that I've actually felt the most powerful. And I think it's been really good for me to use that sort of set of emotions or qualities or talents that I've already developed in my creative work to go out there and generally like affect our world for the better by voting for Kamala and helping other people do that as well.
Even though you said live action, I'm going to ask you about Bob's Burgers. Have you had
me
a great?
Too. I love that show.
Have you had a great experience? I just mentioned off air that we have a mutual friend, John Schrader, who writes for the show. It's a great show, and it seems like a great staff and crew. What's that experience been like?
Oh my gosh, it's so funny. I can hardly record that show because I laugh so hard. That and The Great North. You know, I'm on both of those shows.
Yeah.
they're just so dear to my heart. And like, there's no bad apples there. Everybody is a true sweetheart. And the scripts are continually so funny that, yeah, like I laugh so much while I'm doing my work. And I feel like that's kind of like, geez, what a gigantic luxury to be able to be that happy. Plus they let me do my own fart noises, which is, you know, of course, a big badge of honor for me.
I'm not even going to ask you about how you research such things, but I do appreciate
just
your...
Just by living life. Just living life.
That's fantastic. Jenny, I know you have to run and get to other interviews. Keep up the great work here in Wisconsin.
It's my pleasure to welcome, for the first time, to Nightlight with Peach Wava, actor Adam Brody. Adam, welcome.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
I just want to say, this is fun for me, because when I first moved to L.A., I did a lot of freelance writing, and you were on the Gilmore Girls several times, and that's one of the show I freelanced for the WB, writing promos and stuff. So you've added a bit to your... Yeah, you've added quite a bit to your resume since then. So congrats to you for that.
As have you. Congrats to you.
I had a lot of fun out there, and it was great. Sold some movies. Only one of them got made. Doing radio now. Absolutely love it. Love working for Civic Media, and it's great to reconnect with you, even though I didn't meet you back then. I was an admirer of your work. I loved.
It was fortuitous.
Yeah, exactly. We were destined to connect again at some point.
Yeah.
Can you tell me, one of my favorite films is Promising Young Woman. You have such a memorable part in that movie. Oh, wow. Kind of got the ball rolling.
You know, Emerald Fennell, who wrote and directed it, is just a phenomenal talent. And that was obvious. And she's also a wonderful actress. And so she's very charismatic as well. And that was obvious from the script. I mean, everyone, you know, knew how good a script that was and how good a movie it would be. And I think she did a wonderful job with it. And she also, you know, where I come in that particular one is, you know, a bit of a misdirect. And she cast a handful of people known for their nice guy personas, their nice guy roles, and subverted those. And I thought it was brilliant.
That's really fascinating what you said, because I don't think a lot of actors or people in general, when they work on a film, know it's going to be great.
It was the movie's very entertaining and funny, and yet, right. And then it has this showcase where a great part for Carey Mulligan, who was one of our finest actors, and then a procession of cameos and different great parts for a bunch of men and a few women as well. And like I said, it's funny, it's tense, and at the same time, while you're being entertained, it's very thought-provoking, it's very provocative. And it was talking and having a dialogue with a moment we were having and are still having. And so it was incredibly topical while not being preachy in any way. And so that's just a great cocktail.
That's a great answer. I have to say this phrase to you, and I want to get your reaction to it. What do you watch on TV when you're done filming your own stuff or canvassing or doing whatever you do for fun? What do you sit down and watch typically at night?
That's a fun question. I really wish I watched more, but between bedtime for the kids and bedtime for me, you know, staying awake, there's not all that much time. So I've been working my way through Long Legs, the Nicolas Cage horror movie.
Right.
I really enjoy it. It's you know, I don't watch that much horror because I'm not that interested. I mean, I'll be scared as a byproduct, but that's not why I'm going to something. I'll go to something because I think it's really clever or et cetera. And so, which this one is so stylish. But so anyways, maybe I'm not the best judge, but I have to say, it is terrifying. It's terrifying. It's incredibly creepy. I really like it. But I've been working my way through that. I'm almost done. I'm doing it in pieces because I fall asleep.
I kind of do horror that way too, just because it's not my genre. But that's kind of a lot of what we talk about on this show is, well, all things entertainment, but movies and TV. All right. The last thing you see before you go to sleep is Nicolas Cage looking like a woman and with weird makeup. It's horrifying.
Yeah, screaming.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The Rekindle the Spirit Parade is tonight in Wisconsin Rapids. The festivities begins with Chatterbox Catering Food Truck at Veterans Memorial Park from 3:30 to 6:30. The Grand Avenue Bridge Lighting Ceremony and Ribbon Cutting will happen at 5:25 at Veterans Memorial Park. The parade will start at 5:45 and process down West Grand Avenue with vibrant floats, music, and giveaways. Santa and Mrs. Claus will grace Hotel Mead with an appearance at 6:45. You can enjoy complimentary cookies and cocoa and get a picture with the celebrated couple. A young Packers fan was denied the prize he won Saturday at a 49ers invasion party at an Ashwaubenon sports bar. Lisa Hale has the story.
14-year-old Joseph De La Rosa, a Packers fan decked out in Packers gear, was at the party, a pregame tailgate hosted by the Niners Empire, a nonprofit fan organization for the 49ers. The eighth grader was with family members who were visiting from Las Vegas who are Niners fans. The boy's number was called to win the football, signed by 49ers running back Christian McCaffrey, who is also the NFL's Offensive Player of the Year. A Facebook video shows the group handling the giveaway, not awarding the football to De La Rosa, but opting instead to give it to a 49ers fan.
I'm going to ask you real quick. Obviously, you probably think pretty highly of your Packers, right? Can you just tell me what you think of the 49ers?
It doesn't matter!
De La Rosa was instead given a pair of sunglasses. There is some measure of justice, however, for De La Rosa. The 49ers organization is mailing him a signed helmet. The helmet is signed by safety Talanoa Hufanga, not McCaffrey.
I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. It's been a long road for the live-action version of Snow White, but there is now a release date in sight. The Disney flick has been in development since 2016 and was supposed to be released in 2024. Greta Gerwig wrote the script for the film, which stars Rachel Zegler and Gal Gadot. Snow White will hit theaters March 21st of 2025. Hollywood is full of crazy stories, and actor Josh Brolin has a doozy he shared in his new memoir, From Under the Truck. Brolin tells the story of when he met acting legend Marlon Brando. Brolin attended a dinner at his stepmother Barbara Streisand's house, along with John Travolta and Kelly Preston. Brolin recalled that Brando showed up with a bleeding leg because he stopped to pull someone from a mudslide on the way to the party. Travolta, a well-known Scientologist, noticed and told Brando he had just gotten to the next level as a Scientologist and said he could heal him. Brolin recalled watching Danny Zuko heal the Godfather, one of the most surreal of his life. It was surreal just reading that. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky tonight, couple of flurries and a low near 20. And more clouds around for tomorrow, scattered flurries and a high in the mid-20s. Colder with sunshine Friday, high only near 20. Staying cold for the weekend, even with sunshine, highs only in the low 20s. It's 24 right now.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
You're listening to a special pre-recorded Thanksgiving Day episode for you from the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Thanksgiving!
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Hey, this is John Grise, also Uncle Rico, and you're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Hey, this is Pete. Hope you're having a great Thanksgiving week and enjoying your families. We have a few days off doing the same, and we'll be back on December 2nd. In the meantime, we put together some fun segments from previous shows. Hope you enjoy, and happy Thanksgiving. I'm very excited to welcome my next guest. You guys probably know him for a couple, two or three roles. I've been following this guy literally since the early 80s, and I just think he's terrific. So I was thrilled when he decided to make himself available for the show tonight. Actor John Grise joins me. John, how are you?
Hi, how's it going?
It's going very well.
How does it feel to get a question with a question? You asked me how I was, and I immediately asked you how you were. So, yeah, we're starting off on a great foot. Yeah, I'm doing great. Thanks so much. How are you doing?
It's good. I just thought that was like an acting technique or something. That's okay. You can just say whatever you feel comfortable saying. It's totally fine. It is great to have you. You have a great event coming up in Madison this Saturday night at the Barrymore Theater, Napoleon Dynamite Live. For those of you listening, John was Uncle Rico in Napoleon Dynamite, just an absolute treasure of a movie. Can you tell us a little bit about the event this Saturday?
Well, you know, this has been something that we've been doing now for a few years, probably with the exception of the time during the pandemic. We show the film, and then afterwards we have like an interactive show with the audience. We get on stage, but we're not like just sitting up there, you know, polishing our nails on our lapels, you know, like, oh yes, we're in this amazing movie, and you're just lucky to be here with us. No, we're equally fans of this film, and we get out in the crowd. We hang out with people. We have reenactments, scene reenactments with audience members.
Have
like trivia questions. It's like an event. We play a little bit of music. We have a really great time. We don't consider ourselves any different other than the fact that we're in the movie, but we are true fans of this film and what this film still amazingly 20 years later seems to engender, and it's a very positive experience. Obviously,
it's great. My kids loved it. I loved it. I went to see it at the Sunset 5 when it came out in L.A., and then when my kids were born, they watched it over and over and over. And how did you get involved with the film? Like, did they approach you? Did you see it and want to audition for it? How did that happen?
Oh no, I knew absolutely nothing about this film. It's an interesting story because they made offers to a lot of people. One of them being, which I think is just fascinating as I'll get out, is Christopher Walken to play Uncle Rico. Could you imagine him? Deb, you have such... The idea of it makes me very giddy. I mean, it makes me laugh so hard. So, no, but because these guys didn't have any track record and they were very young, and agents in Hollywood, I'm sure you have an idea. They're just, you know, it's like a firewall between, people making films and the clients or the talent that they represent. And, you know, I was the low-hanging fruit. You know, it was like, this guy's available. I mean, you know, all these other people, Walton Goggins and Christopher Walken, and they've all turned it down.
Wow.
It's funny. Walton is a friend of mine, and he said, you know, I loved you so much in that movie, and I got to tell you, I actually agreed to do the movie and then realized I couldn't do it. I was doing another project, and I had to call up and bow out. And I, you know, so like the filmmakers from Napoleon had a definite inside track getting to some high level talent. But the problem is either people were, you know, busy or whatever. And as they were getting closer to the start date, Jory Weitz, the casting director, had put me in another film called The Big Empty with Jon Favreau. And they happened to be using the offices of, you know, the editing room of The Big Empty when they were trying to cast Napoleon Dynamite. And he said, let's look at this guy's footage on this movie and maybe you might like it. And they watched my stuff and they said, let's make an offer. And that was pretty much it.
Oh, that is so cool. It's like you're listing all these other great actors, and they're great, and they would have done a good job too, I'm sure. But like,
they killed it. It would have been amazing.
Yeah, but it's like you're him now. It's just there's no one else that could do it because you just crushed it and made it your own. And I think that's
Thank
fantastic.
You.
So you're welcome. Can you talk? Okay, so the first two films I saw you in, John, where I actually noticed you and I was like, oh, this guy's great. You were in Real Genius, real quirky part.
Yes.
And then you were in a movie called Running Scared. As a younger cop playing off Billy Crystal and Gregory Hines. Really fun movie, actually, if people haven't seen it.
Stephen Bauer and I were partners in that. We played partners.
Yes.
You know who else was that? It was Jimmy Smits and Joey Pantoliano. Yeah. There was a lot of people in that movie.
Joey Pants. I was late to a meeting with him once. It did not go well. I'm still ashamed of myself because he honest to God, he has no bigger fan than me. And the guy who played the police chief too is great too. I can't think of his name right now.
Dan.
He played Nick. Yeah. It was just a great cast. But can you talk a little bit about those two roles? They're such great roles. And again, they look like you just crushed those and had so much fun with it.
You know, I mean, thank you so much. Real Genius, originally when they called me to play the part of Kent.
Wow, really? I can't see that.
And I know. And I read this. When I was early in my career, I got hired to play. People kept thinking, well, he's not good looking enough to be the good guy. So he's probably good looking enough to be the bad guy. Of course, I couldn't get on soap operas because they're like, nah, he ain't even good looking enough to be the bad guy. You know, that's pretty much how they saw me.
And they say that to people, isn't that crazy?
Oh,
it's
yeah,
horrible.
They do. You've got to have some pretty thick skin. And Robert Prescott, who ended up playing Kent, was so brilliant in that role that you say you can't imagine anybody else playing Uncle Rico. I could never imagine anybody else playing Kent, but Robert Prescott, he's such a wonderful actor. So Real Genius, I called my agent when I got the audition, and they sent me the script, and I called him and I said, I want to read for Laszlo. And he was like, what are you talking about? They called you to read for Kent. They probably have other ideas for Laszlo. I know, but I the role is speaking to me, and I got to try that. I'd rather go down on that one and in flames than go down in flames on doing this one, because that's not the one I want to do. This is the one I want to do. So he called them and they said, okay, sure. He wants to read for that. Come on in. And he's too young for it, because it was written in the script that he was like 45 years old, you know? And they kept calling me back, you know, they made me come back like four or five times. And then I finally got the job, and it was a life-changing experience for me, truly. I mean, before that, I was working construction, you know, as well as acting from time to time and something here and there. But after that movie, I was on my way. Running Scared was a funny story, because I went in to meet with Peter Hyams, and he sat there and we had a great discussion. Now, meanwhile, sitting out in the waiting room is David Caruso and Ray Liotta to read or to talk to him about the same part. Right.
Oh, wow.
But Peter Hyams and I sit and we gab for, I'm not kidding, an hour, and they're out there waiting. I'm sure they're getting angry as all get out. And then Peter looks at me and he goes, John, I love you but I don't know you. I don't know your work. I what have you done? And at that time, I had finished shooting Real Genius, but it wasn't done yet. But it turns out the old Sony lot where Peter Heim's office was the MGM lot at the time. And they were cutting Real Genius on the MGM lot. So I went home and I called the editor, a guy named Richard Chu, who was very famous because he edited Star Wars. I said, "Hey, Richard, my name's John Grise." And he goes, "Oh my God, I love you in this movie, Real Genius, that I'm cutting." And I said, "That's why I'm calling you. I want to see if I can get a screening room on the lot this like coming week. Do you think you could put the scenes together for Peter Himes?" He goes, "Don't worry about it. I'll put the scenes. I'll put three great scenes together." Man. I said, "Thank you so much." And then I called the studio operations and I said, "Peter Himes would like the Cary Grant screening room at a Friday at 11 a.m. And they were like, "Okay, Peter Himes." You know, like I was just, I ordered the room and then I called Peter's office and I said, "Yeah, the, and you know, have a projectionist there." And then I called his office and I said, "Yes, 11 a.m., the Cary Grant screening room," right? And sure enough, Peter Himes comes in, sits down, he watches my scenes. He calls me, he goes, and I was just leaving the country to go to Italy to shoot something. And he goes, "You got the job. When you come back, we're going to make a movie together." And that was it. And then later on, while we were shooting, because he was also the producer of the film, he walks up to me and while we're eating lunch and he sits down and he drops a piece of paper in front of me. And he says, "Did you rent the Cary Grant screening room on my dime?" I started laughing and said, "Yes." And he said, "Good for you. Good for you." Picked up the piece of paper and walked away.
Oh, that's terrific. Wow.
It required a little bit of hustle. You know, you had to hustle.
Be proactive. Right.
Absolutely.
John, we have about a minute left. I had so many questions for you. I wanted to ask you about White Lotus, but I know you're a busy guy and I tell me in about 30 seconds this Saturday, such a great night. You played Uncle Rico. You're going to be there. People should go see you in Madison, Napoleon Dynamite Live. Are you looking forward to it?
Oh, I'm telling you something. We have such a great time. We love having this exchange with the audience. We don't turn out the lights in the theater. The lights are on, man. We're all together in this, and it's a great time. It really is a great time. And we have giveaways, and you know that it's just a lot of fun. It's beautifully janky and really really loose and really a lot of fun.
I love it. Check him out this Saturday, John Grise. Thank you so much, buddy. Crush it this Saturday. It's great to meet you. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
With the holidays around the corner, why not check the Badger fan in your life off the list early? Take advantage of Black Friday deals on Badger tickets and give the gift of an unforgettable experience with discounts on Badger men's and women's basketball, hockey, and wrestling tickets, and a winter full of exciting home matchups. There's something for every Badger fan. Visit UWBadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS to explore all the Badger Black Friday deals and to secure your seats. UWBadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
The morning show on WFHR. It's comedy?
I think for me, one of the quick ones that I have is like telling time on an analog clock.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it takes me a minute.
It takes me a minute.
That was funny. Yeah. At least groan worthy. At least groan worthy.
So I needed a minute for it to sink in.
That was fun. That's good.
Every weekday morning from 8 to 10, only on 97.5 FM, WFHR.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You guys are already set up. That was like a covert, just snuck in and...
Well, I heard 30 seconds and I was like, let's hurry up.
Let's do it.
Let's go.
It is great to have you guys in studio. We've got Eric Ratzek and Adam Krause from Ask Your Mother are here. They're going to perform for us and we're going to have a discussion about what I like to call rock and roll.
Sure. We can do that.
How you guys been?
Good. Busy, man. You just caught us at the end of a very busy period in our lives for Ask Your Mother.
That's true. And we've been all over the state in the past week alone.
Really?
So we've been all over.
Tell us about it. Where you been?
Well, Green Bay, for one.
Yeah. Just here. Across the street here.
We were here. Yeah. We were over at Titletown on the rooftop.
Oh, sweet.
Doing our own U2 show there. No, it wasn't really like it. It was on the rooftop, though.
It rivaled the Beatles on the rooftop. It was.
There was more people over here, I think, that we could see from there. Because they had like, I don't know what they have over here. Like, on
didn't
the
matter.
City
it was it wasn't Ask Your Mother. That's all that matters.
There was a lot of people that ended up over there, but it was fun. What else? We were on Channel 5 that
week.
Yeah. We did live at 5 in the morning, so we did that. Well, it wasn't that early. It was like Channel 5, what I'm saying. Channel 5.
Oh, okay.
It was like a live segment. We played on there for a little bit and did a little interview. And then that night, we were in Oshkosh at SOS Brothers 10. Yay. So that was crazy fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's just been nuts. Milwaukee last weekend, so we've been over.
This is just a side hustle for you guys.
Yeah,
that's
true. Yeah, we all have real jobs.
Let's not forget Scandinavia.
Yeah, the cornrows.
Squeeze Scandinavia in there. They always get forgotten. Scandinavia corn roast.
I don't know why we'd forget that when the zipper operator was so kind to offer us free rides the next day. Yeah. Not that day,
If we came back the next day, we would get free rides.
I was this close to canceling our state fair gig just for the rides.
So what was the zipper at? Was it like at a county fair?
Well, it's like the Scandinavia does like a corn roast is what it's called.
Okay.
So it's like a kind of like a community fundraiser kind of thing. Like we were on stage the night for like the Scandinavia Fire Department hired us for that. So
very nice.
Yeah, it was cool. I mean, it's a fun show. We like doing it. And
yeah, it's a good event.
Good crowd.
You don't
the
get
people
the zipper
fun.
After every show.
Well, Tim, our lead guitar player, says it's not a county fair unless it has a zipper. They're
over
just
the tilt
posing.
World.
Yeah.
And you feel like you're going to die sometimes. Like once in a while, the guys look like they really know how to assemble the stuff. But every once in a while, man, you're like,
there was always that comedian that said, like, a couple hours ago, this ride was on the highway.
So what was the Milwaukee gig?
State Fair. We were down there
sweet.
For that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's that crowd like?
Oh, it's
imagine they're so fantastic.
Cool. Fun. Yeah. Absolutely. But we get, we've been doing the Saturday there at the tavern at the park, and it's, just a huge, just eclectic mix of people, I guess would be the way to say it.
And at different times. So you have people that are there when you start, you have people walking by, you have people stopping and listening, you have people singing along as they're walking, you know, from the barn to the exhibition hall.
Let's not forget the guy that was breakdancing.
We had some creative, we had a dance off at one point between.
It was nuts.
It was crazy.
5, 6, 7.
They were going
just,
for it, man.
Yeah, the guy just, I mean, it's like blacktop. It's not like conducive for breakdancing. No,
he didn't bring a piece of cardboard or anything. He was just right on the blacktop.
He's like, I'm going for it.
And anyway, he
went for it.
He won, I say. He won the dance off.
What's the biggest crowd you guys have ever played for?
I'd probably be opening for Cheap Trick, I think.
Yeah, we played open for Cheap Trick at the Greenville Lions Catfish Races, that whole deal they do every year, a few years
back.
Yeah,
that was, I think, 10,000 at that one.
Yeah.
Something like that. What is that? What does that do to you guys, well, as performers? I mean,
I think it's a little nervous. Yeah. I mean, a little bit. Sure, like you walk out. The thing is, what I always find is funny, I feel like a bigger crowd is easier to play for than a small crowd.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like there's more judgment happening from 10 people versus 10,000.
Yeah. Right. And it's almost like a roller coaster because you might be, you're nervous, you know, heading up that ramp. You're nervous until you play that first note.
Yeah.
And you play the note and people start singing along. All of a sudden you're going and you just ride it.
You just feed off of it. And it's huge. It's fun.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. How did you get the gig? Did Cheap Trick's management reach out to you?
I like to think so, but that's not what happened. Personally, they asked for us.
I think our agent got us that show. Bananas Entertainment got us in there. So.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Lance.
Yeah. Lance, Ryan, shout out to Megan, Lance. If you're listening. Yes, thank you all. We appreciate you.
But you got some cool stuff coming up, too. Speaking of crowds, you get the Brown County Fair.
Heck yeah.
Let's find out when that is.
It's Thursday.
It's next Thursday, isn't it?
Not this Thursday, but next Thursday.
Next Thursday.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so we get the Brown County Fair. We've got that coming up. We've got a... we get a full weekend that weekend.
We have three in a row. Yeah. That's a big weekend. Nice. So that weekend, we got Brown County Fair the Thursday, which is...
That's a week from this
15th.
Coming.
Yeah, okay. The 15th will be there. We're also doing our favorite country bar, that one in Appleton. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Watertown, speaking of all over the map.
Oh, wow, yeah.
We'll be there. We got a Rippin' Main Street show coming up August 23rd. We're doing Jones Park. That'll be huge.
Is that the Thursday night thing they do?
Yeah, that's
really cool.
That's the last week they're doing it, too, is when we're there.
Oh, for the summer?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Man, that's a real big crowd. It's a great crowd. It's a lot of fun. Family-friendly, a lot of food, a lot of music. Also, my wife's birthday, so that's going to be...
Oh, boy. It's Aaron freaking Krause's birthday, so we got to make sure we shout that out. Yeah. And then,
you guys are kind of like celebrities around here.
So, I don't know about all that.
But. Well, I mean, you have a following. I mean, it's really easy to find out information.
We just got 10,000 followers on Facebook, nice. So that's a good milestone.
We get recognized in not like paparazzi style, but you might be sitting down for dinner and somebody's like, oh, how'd the gig go? And you're like, I have no idea who you are.
Which one?
Who are you?
Is it different when you play here where people are more likely to know you as down, like, say, Watertown or something?
Yeah, for sure. And I feel like it's if they don't know us, they're going to by the time we're done. Like, I would try to make it memorable, you know? Yeah.
Does it make you try harder?
It does. I feel like when it's someone that hasn't seen us and we have to work a little harder to win them over, that's what I'll do. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
For sure. My eyes are buffet, moving so phenomenally. Come on, like the way we rock it. So don't stop. And under the lights when everything goes. Nowhere to hide when I'm getting you close. When we move, well, you already know. So just imagine. Nothing I can see but you when you dance.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Matt Rothschild is going to be sitting in the big chair to break down all the news with analysis and humor. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Check the back seat. Check the back seat.
All right, go.
come here.
Check the backseat.
Gets in your head, right? Good. Because every year, dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat of a car by a parent or caregiver. All never thought it could happen to them. But with changes in routines, distractions, or a sleeping child, it can happen to anyone. Parked cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. So get it in your head.
Check the backseat.
A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always